there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Hello, folks, and welcome to the podcast. This time we are staying close to home, again doing a Nordic film, and this time pretty solemn mood tonight, I would think, since we're doing the Norwegian film You, July 22nd. It's about the massacre at Utøya Island in Norway in 2011. But before we check that out, let's just try not to be too solemn here and just give it to you, Rune. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing very good. You know, yeah? Very well. Finally.
Yeah?
Not sick.
Health back?
Yes. Yeah? It's good. What, you know, Resko is always saying it, like, Pappi is not sick. You know, she's pretending to call on the phone often, and then she's just going around like saying, "Dad is not sick. Dad is not sick anymore." I don't know if I'm laying it on a little bit too
this
hard when
just
I am
in.
Sick.
Yeah, dad is well.
Yeah, that
is just
well.
In. That happened.
Yeah.
So tell me, what are you drinking there?
I'm not humoring you, but I'm taking a page of your book and drinking a Hoegaarden.
And a massive one.
Probably not the best time to drink a massive Hoegaarden. We're recording fairly late in Denmark, but you know, this will keep me awake. It'll keep me company throughout our session, at least.
Yes.
Going to open it now and pour it.
Excellent.
And since it's a Hoegaarden, we both know what that entails. So what are you drinking tonight?
Well, while you pour into your non-Hoegaarden glass,
yes, that is.
I will just show you my massive Hoegaarden, 660 milliliter glass. And like I said last time, I'm not hiding it anymore. It's the best drink in the world, so I'm just gonna do a Hoegaarden.
Okay, so we have two Hoegaardens today.
Yeah.
Yours is only,
I think,
33,
it might be
though,
a two beer episode this time, and so I'm using the big one.
Okay.
Yeah.
A small and beer in a big glass.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll get another one later.
Yeah. I really need to go to Iceland and try one of those glasses.
Yeah.
Because my small one is just not cutting it.
Not for a 750 milliliter beer.
No.
No. Anyway, how is it tasting there?
A lot of foam on this one. But I guess that's my fault. But it's good. I'm getting ready to get into this episode.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. See, this is the... well, it's the second beer actually I have since last weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a drinking story.
Okay.
See, me and my wife were at visiting friends in a town here nearby, and it was a sleepover kind of thing, which is normal for us, but I guess for many people it's not that normal to just visit your friends just like a half an hour away and still just, you know, sleep over, you know.
But it's a good idea if you're drinking.
Yeah, it is a good idea. Yes. People should do it. It's if you have kids and just you just get away for a night.
Yeah.
And it was great. The great people, really good friends of ours, and we did it once before here in at our place, and it was just a huge success. And so we came over and we had this amazing dinner, and board games, and everybody's feeling good. Then I suggest we do Caucasian, White Russian, with the guys.
Yeah.
So I go mix those. See, I know the...
Seems like a good idea until now.
It always has been a good idea for me because it's my drink, you know. But I have the measurements. You know, it's 5 parts vodka. It's 2 parts the coffee thing.
Kahlua.
What is it called? Kahlua.
Yeah.
And 3 parts cream.
Mm-hmm.
And this I know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I needed something to do the measuring, he just gave me a shot glass. So the drink became...
Five shots
vodka, 2 shots Kahlua, and 3 shots cream. So it was a 7-shot drink
mm-hmm.
for each of us.
Yeah.
And I did this twice.
Okay. That's...
So is it like a 14 shots of alcohol in maybe an hour and a half?
Yeah.
So maybe an hour after that, I'm done with the night. Done for the night.
Mm-hmm.
I need to. My stomach said enough and asked me to get rid of stuff. I had to do that.
Back at that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did anybody walk in on you?
Oh my god. See, the thing is, I mean, the evening was getting on, you know, but it was getting late, but. Still, we went to the hot tub and I lasted about 10 minutes. And I was like, I can't do this. I need to go to bed right now.
You know, that's the thing in Iceland. You shouldn't be drinking hard liquor and then go outside into a very hot tub. I mean, it just doesn't work.
No, it makes total sense when you're used to it. But I'm just going to tell you how it ended up. I mean, I threw up again in the morning, didn't
mm-hmm.
I was unable to drink anything, eat anything, stand up even, or walk for about 24 hours.
Yeah.
So it seems to me, it's just, I don't get it, how I didn't see that it's like a 7-shot drink.
7 shots
that I'm making. 7-shot drink. God.
Yeah, well,
so it was like a 14 shot.
You had a bit of
there.
Alcohol in you at the time.
I did.
You made those.
And I was kind of in a little bit of a hurry because the women, the girls were beating us at this board game,
mm-hmm.
wiping the floor with us actually, and more so when we started doing the Russian.
Yeah.
But,
I can imagine.
It's just mind numbing that I didn't notice what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
the quantity of it all.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It
seems that you don't get mature, you get old. That's it.
Yeah. And then you
forget. Yeah, I've reached my highest point of maturity, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then you just can't hold it as well. I mean,
I don't drink that often. So that's not surprising.
I mean, you drank like yesterday then?
No. It was a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at an annual party at my daytime job Friday. And no, I didn't drink that much, but I was still affected by it the day after. And I can still feel it in my voice, you know, that I was drinking on Friday. You know, it should have passed like in the morning on Saturday, but it just lasts so much longer when you're not used to drinking.
I mean, you're a healthy drinker, aren't you? You know, have
beer.
You go out on the town sometimes, yeah?
Nah, not very often, not anymore.
Yeah, less after Roscoe came.
Yes,
I'm guessing.
Yes, sure. Unfortunately. All right.
Yeah,
I was known to drink quite a bit of beer. Yes, but but so is everyone in Denmark.
I guess.
Yeah,
I guess.
Mm. So, have you been watching anything
other
than drinking
much,
while you were lying in your sofa?
Well, nothing much last weekend, but I have been catching up on Border Town.
Yeah,
you told the me Finnish series that I kind of recommend to you mm-hmm. because it appears that you had some
reservations,
misleading info on that. It appears.
I think like a long time ago, I started watching half of the show but didn't continue, but it was not due to it being bad or anything. It just accidentally stopped. But you recommend that now?
The format is kind of intriguing because you have it's 11 episodes. Mm-hmm. That means it's five stories, like three episodes, then two. And it's so they take the time with the stories, which is good. They take the time with the characters, which is good.
And separate stories.
Okay. No, but still the same characters. Mm-hmm. Still the same guy. It's about this genius detective.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen a lot of those through the years on TV. And it's tricky, I would say, to construct such a character because he's weird and he has these things he does. He searches his memory and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to have it look bad, ridiculous, but this guy's a pro. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. I have a problem with how they resolve the stuff sometimes.
Okay.
But the foundations are there to make something really good within this Nordic noir form.
Okay.
So I'm quite happy with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about yourself?
We'll try and catch up with that at some point, maybe. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a completely positive review you just gave, but, you know.
I've seen five of the first 11, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to continue watching it.
Okay.
Yeah. So two stories out of five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like completely wrapped up, the stories. It's not like they continue anyway, or
it's a case.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then you get the family angle, his family, and
it's a little bit Mindhunter like in a way.
No,
because
not really. No,
one thing I really enjoyed about that show was that you had that overall story, but you didn't quite know what it was, and then some of the episodes were just completely different cases that you were on, but you got insight into the characters. So it was kind of fascinating that way of structuring a series. So
I did like that show as well.
So if it's anything like that, then I'm all for
it. It's pretty different. Also, right. It's Finnish.
Yes, it's Finnish.
And there's something about the Finnish language. Mm. I guess this divides opinion, but I kind of like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of, for me, it sounds like Icelandic, but spoken really slowly.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's rougher on the edges. It's good. Mm-hmm. Also, they're so close to Russia, and there's a Russian element in the show as well. And it's a kind of different world, you know, from what I'm used to or what I've seen before, and I haven't seen that much of the Finnish stuff.
No.
So,
all right.
Quite happy with it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been kind of prolific when it comes to watching movies. I can mention you the movies I have been watching, and it was The Party. I rewatched The Party with Elin because it showed up on Netflix.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I nudged it down half a star after rewatching it. It didn't hold up the same way. No, unfortunately not. It's still good. It's still good, but
it's good.
But it's like what I disliked about it last time. I probably gave it like more credit for the positive parts, and this time I was just too caught up in in what I didn't like, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So on rewatches, it's like But I still love Bruno Ganz and Patricia Clarkson. To see her again.
How can you not love those people?
Exactly. And Timothy Spall. Anyway,
of course.
I also just watched Spider-Man Homecoming. The newest Spider-Man movie.
Did you?
Yes. I've been caught up in some Spider-Man stuff because Resco is always mentioning Spider-Man.
Yeah, what is it with Spider-Man and those kids? I mean, my son is mentioning Spider-Man every day. He doesn't watch it. He doesn't own a Spider-Man toy.
You know, there was a new Spider-Man game coming out for the PS4. And whether you've noticed or not, there are commercials everywhere for Spider-Man. And that is one of the reasons why Reskva is saying Spider-Man. She's pointing at signs.
I have noticed, yeah. I have noticed.
You know? And So therefore, I also thought I should watch the latest installment. Because people tend to like it. And, you know, I kind of liked it too. I thought it was actually a good superhero movie. Yeah. Believe it or not. It's kind of like a teenage high school drama. With a quirky guy who has superpowers and trying to control them. And it's much more relatable than any of the other superhero franchises, I think. And it's Marvel who took over the helm of this franchise now. So Iron Man is also in it. So
I mean, Spider-Man is Marvel, isn't it?
Now it is, yeah. Well, I guess it was, but there were some licensing issues, and it was Sony Pictures. Sony Pictures.
Oh, but it's the Marvel Universe, though.
Now it is, yeah.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't before? Because Sony owned the rights to Spider-Man, and then I think he showed up. Like, you should quote me on it, but I think he showed up in a DC movie also.
No, but I'm not talking movies. I'm talking about the comic books.
It is Stan Lee who has. Created Spider-Man along with someone else, I think. So it's the same guy who's been making all the other Marvel things. Yeah. But I think they just lost the rights. I'm not an expert.
Let's in, not be a podcast in that comic focuses on theory. The rights to Spider-Man. Yeah.
But you know, I would recommend it. It like ultimately it's a little bit like so what? You know, once it's over, but I liked the ride. I was laughing at some of the teenage jokes, and then we have Michael Keaton as the bad guy. And
well, there's something to be said about enjoying the ride.
Yeah,
like we learned in our Mission Impossible episode.
Yeah, and you know, like I think I was more on. With the premise of Spider-Man, actually, because it was actually more relatable than seeing Tom Cruise do crazy stuff. So that
I don't
was,
know what you're talking about.
No? But yeah, if Simile is still just engaged with Spider-Man, Homecoming is not that bad of a movie. Maybe a little bit scary, but... Yeah.
I almost bought him a Spider-Man toy yesterday because he was getting a reward because he has been going to sleep in his own bed for a week now. But I didn't like the toy. It's kind of weird looking.
Yeah.
So it was the only Spider-Man they had, and I decided not to get it.
Yeah. So you got Wonder Woman instead?
I sent you a picture of Wonder Woman. I noticed that. I thought you might, you know.
Trigger my tear canals.
Yes. But no luck.
No luck.
But we've been it's been a week since he's been falling asleep in his own bed, and we've been sitting with him and trying to do this right, because I think security, it's the most important thing for these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Just always, so they don't have to spend the rest of their lives chasing security, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I actually know what that is.
Yeah,
I know what I'm talking about. Actually, so it's very important that we do this right.
Yeah,
and it's. I mean, I'm gonna miss, I guess, the kicks in the side and
really,
the backhand to the nose during the night. Yeah. But he's allowed to come to our bed whenever he wants. You know,
and doesn't
during
he do
the
that?
Night, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does it every morning, like 5, 6 a.m. or something like that.
Okay.
So he does that. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. But we've kind of reclaimed our bed a little bit.
Mm.
And it's working. We're not at the point where we can just leave him and say goodnight and go downstairs.
No.
It's early days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only been a week and we're still sitting with him as he is falling asleep. Yeah. And... But soon enough, we'll just try to stand up and say goodnight, and then we're just going to go out here. Yeah. I'm just going to do this, and you're going to go to bed and sleep alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just right a few meters away.
Yeah.
So that's like maybe next week.
Next week. That's good. Yeah. It's something we're trying as well, but, you know, it's early days. You know, she really doesn't want us to leave.
Yeah.
But she sleeps in her own bed, though.
Yeah.
Then she usually comes up in our bed around 1 or 2 o'clock or something
when
she
wakes kinda, up.
You know?
It's kind of cuddly when they come, isn't it? It's kind of good.
Yeah, but I still get the feet, you know?
Yeah, you get the feet?
Yeah, always.
I usually get the feet.
Yeah.
Get kicked in the side.
Yeah.
But sometimes he comes to my pillow with the head, and then it's the elbow or the backhand to the nose.
Okay.
So you have to learn to protect yourself here in the hood. You know,
you don't get any, like all ways are bad somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if Reshkva is on the pillow with me, you know, with her head, then it's all good.
All good. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it varies, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, have you been, do you have anything else then?
I don't think so. No. I don't think so. I think we should just, if you don't have anything else, I think we should just go ahead and talk about Utøya, July 22nd.
On July 22nd, 2011, a bomb went off in Oslo, and afterwards a massacre ensued on a political camp on an island called Utøya. And this movie is actually a direct telling of what happened on the island, and it's shown from the perspective of one and or more of the participants at this political camp. So social democratic youth was at the island. At least in the Nordic countries, this incident is extremely well known, and people are still shook by it.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And this movie basically tells the story of that incident without showing the, what do you say?
The mass murderer.
The mass murderer, yeah.
Yeah.
And, we decided to watch this last time. We sat down, Elin and I, yesterday, actually, so it's very fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
And neither of us actually wanted to watch it. We were like, this, it's so vivid in your mind. I can't even believe that it was in 2011. It seems almost like yesterday that this happened.
Yeah, but it's still very close.
Yeah, it's very close.
In time. Yeah, it's only 7 years. Let's just go by the feelings first. How did you feel watching this?
You know, it's hard for me to tell because I'm so affected about how I perceive those events at the time as well. So, so a lot of the feelings in the movie was not necessarily due to what I was watching, but more what I had already read and seen and heard from this event. Prior. So actually, like, to be honest, I felt at a distance to the movie, but I still think that, like, the subject matter is, I mean, it's emotional, obviously. it's kind of hard to watch, but mainly due to my own thoughts, you know.
People getting chopped down, kids, teenagers getting killed with a Glock and a rifle of some sort.
Mm-hmm. like what resonated a lot with me in the beginning was, I mean, it gets almost right into the situation. You get probably 5-10 minutes maybe without any violence. But then you hear those gunshots, and what I was paying most attention to here was that all these kids don't really know the sound of gunfire. Like the first sentence was like, is this fireworks or something? And yeah. It's a thing in Europe, I guess, but in the Nordic countries, like gunfire is just not something that you're exposed to very often. So the fact that all of a sudden these loud noises were just like coming closer and closer, it made this tension of, we really don't know what this is, you know, coming at us. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I really felt the tension and the fear that these people must have felt.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just that they didn't. They had no idea if at no point did Kaya, the main character, know if there was like a small army of people or just one person. And you wanted to kind of reach out and just shake them and just, it's one yes. person. Just, you know, don't mm-hmm. be sitting ducks in the middle of the wood. Just go do something.
That was actually something it brought to the table for me. Because I never thought that they could have thought of more people, but they introduced that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And of course they, And then the fact that he was dressed as a policeman as well kind of made them question the support that would come later. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
They don't really go into that much, but some of the documentaries about this incident are like, I mean, they were worried when they saw other policemen coming up.
I think this story here is, of course, like true events, but it's based on accounts of many of the people who were there.
Yes.
So it feels, even not knowing that, it feels really genuine. It feels really, really genuine to me.
Yes.
And it had a big effect on me mm-hmm. in the theater, I have to say.
We saw it on a
very
TV.
Tough watch.
You know, so not the theater experience. But I actually mm-hmm. think that because it's stories from several people put into this one character, Kaya, it made it be a little bit too constructed, the narrative part of this story, and it made it to me, like for me, a little bit unbelievable.
I'm gonna interject that I disagree with you here.
Yeah.
But it's not the film is not without its flaws. Mm. But the whole thing about it being a single shot, you know, maybe mm-hmm. it wasn't quite just a single shot, but mm-hmm. that's difficult to do. Mm-hmm. But it's not many shots, and they hit the transition very well if they doing that, mm-hmm. but. Just it felt rang really true, her feelings and her actions and everything, to me.
I think she rang true. Like her character and how she acted it was good. There are some drawbacks to trying to do this one shot take throughout the movie. Several things actually. One of them is that the character is always recording people. Also the people who might not act just as well as the main character. So I felt like sometimes it wasn't the best performance that they could have given. And
you mean acting performances?
Yes, or? Yeah. Not necessarily from Kaya, the main character. character. I think she did a really good job. But like some of the people she's meeting, some of the events that you get to, it's because they have to shoot it in one shot, then they take the best of them, you know, like but maybe not the one that is perfect. And also I do have a problem with the camera doing this thing.
Is it maybe because you have difficulty with the moving camera?
I have difficulty with the camera trying to be a person, trying to be a character. It's doing a little bit of the same motions, also framing what's going on, like with the characters, and it draws a lot of attention to itself. Like, had they gone this like Blair Witch Project route, where there's one person with a camera and doing that, it might have been a little bit better. But this time, it just seemed like there was a camera person with a steady cam going around with them.
Yeah,
all the
sometimes
time.
It was like just pointing at grass or something, just like it's like taking cover.
Yeah,
I get that.
But you know, those are cover-ups. You know, they need to put it still in order to make a cut and change to a different thing.
Of course.
And they did a few while running. So there's like probably three obvious ones and like a handful of those like steady shots. But I don't know. Like I completely see the idea of showing it. Like I love showing it from like the 72 minutes that it took in real time but I think it lets down the movie a little bit. I think you could have made long shots but also edited a little bit in order to draw the attention away from the camera. You told me before we started recording that you missed the first couple of minutes. How many minutes did you miss?
I'm not sure.
When did that start for you?
I was
then?
Sitting about the time she Kaya met Magnus.
Okay.
Magnus was lying in his tent and he's greeting her. Is that?
So it started a little bit before that. Like it starts with you seeing some shots of the incident in Oslo where the bomb went off.
Okay.
A couple of hours prior.
Okay.
But just like, you know, surveillance cameras and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Utøya, where Kaya is walking in from the left in this forest. And she's talking to her mom on the phone with a headset. But she's looking directly at you in the camera. And she is saying, "You will never understand this." Directly to the camera. She's breaking the fourth wall in a big way. Introducing the character in the camera, you know, or looking at you. So
okay, so I kind of missed an important thing.
Yeah. She was talking to her mom about maybe why she was at the camp.
Was it a video call?
No.
Is that what she was breaking the fourth wall?
She was she's just looking directly into the camera, looking at you and saying, "You will never understand this." And she keeps the eye contact for quite some time. And then she moves away and continues her conversation with her mom. To me, it just solidified that this was constructed.
Camera is a character.
But it's not... You know, it wasn't a character, but it seemed that way, and it drew a lot of attention to the camera, and from that moment, I was also thinking, okay, so they're going to do this as one take because the camera was following her around in that way, and you know, it just broke something for me because when that happened, then you realize that everything needs to be choreographed.
Okay.
Yes. to very minute details.
Yeah. Right?
And then it starts to seem like this concept. It seems like a concept to me. And, you know, all the emotions, all the stories here are true. Like, I've seen some documentaries where many of the stories that Kaya goes through is being told. So it's not that it's not genuine, but the way it's been put together with setups and payoffs and stuff like that. Like, she's meeting the same characters on different occasions, and you have that narrative.
When did she do? Do you mean Magnus or?
Yeah, and a boy that she's talking to, and
yeah,
and her. Yeah, you also missed her sister. She talked to her sister in the beginning.
Yeah, but thing I there. Thought that was her sister in the bow, right? Yes. In the end, yeah, of course. Mm. So that's a bow. I thought
because
that wasn't necessary, but still, yeah. I get that.
Mm.
In a movie such as this, and in a tragedy such as this, I mean, you have to show some kind of consequence of what happened. I mean, she meets the boy.
Yeah.
She tries to help the boy get him out of the yellow jacket.
Yeah.
And then she meets the boy when he has been killed.
Yeah.
I get that. I know what you mean. I understand what you mean. I agree with you in some way,
yeah.
But I think the effects of the single camera and the handheld thing in the entire way through, the effect that you put there, you put right there in the middle of the action,
mm.
And for a while I felt like I was there. You know, it was fucking scary.
Yeah,
and that's the main thing here. You're being placed into a situation and try to make you understand what it was like to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the director is trying to do, and definitely he succeeds for me.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it seems like he's trying to do exactly that, but he's keeping me at like arm's length. Because he's drawing so much attention to the camera.
But you're a very low percentage of people who see this film with the... and you know,
yeah, and I also feel good, like I should...
Oh, he breaks the fourth wall there. Okay, I mean, I'm taking out of this.
Yeah, but it was a very jarring moment. Like, Alien and I were both, like, taking aback a little bit there. And
so I didn't see that, so that didn't bother me at all.
No, of course not.
You
know, I was also thinking about this, and had they started the movie, you know, 1 minute further into this conversation where mm-hmm. she didn't look at the camera, I would mm-hmm. probably have started out at least with a different kind of perception of what this movie was.
So you was saying me and you have a different kind of perception altogether.
Due
to that fact. Due to the fact that I was watching another film in another theater.
Yeah.
And I had to run to be a part of these.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you might have had the better experience by doing that. Because it sounds like it made it more movie-like or like...
Yeah.
Like... You know what happened, but you'll never understand mm-hmm. it, she basically said, you know.
Yeah, and, but she's right, though.
Yeah, but there also thought, yeah, we know what happened. What if people outside of the Nordic countries who might not have heard about Utøya thinks in this situation, right? I'm also thinking a little bit, like, if you didn't have that, didn't know anything, how would it then affect you, this movie?
Yeah, that's rare, I would say.
You think?
If people are going to see this movie not knowing what happened, that's going to be true about Greengrass's
film. Exactly, Greengrass is going to do it.
Yeah.
You know? And it will probably be fairly different.
For those of you who don't know, Greengrass, Paul Greengrass, director of Bourne Ultimatum, Jason Bourne, which we covered here in our first ever episode, is going to do a take on this tragedy coming to Netflix in about a week. In about a week, I think 10th, October 10th.
Yeah, you say it. Say 10th. Yeah. You know, I'm actually a little bit intrigued here. I mean, of course, it won't be in Norwegian, and like, there's a lot of stuff that he'll miss the mark on, probably.
I think there are Norwegian actors, though.
Okay.
All of them. I think I read that somewhere.
Okay.
Or I looked up the cast list or something.
Though?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
But
that's a step too far.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that he really does well is emergency in the camera, you know, like you really like he's doing a lot of editing. It's like several edits a second,
exactly,
almost.
Exactly.
But it could be a very thrilling take on this, like a completely different way of shooting it.
I mean, we have to see it at least and talk about it next time and see what the differences.
Because I'm always thinking if the camera was just a little bit more like edits a little bit more, not trying to do this one take exercise all the time, and just letting it play out, you know.
Yeah,
like one scene that was completely ruined for me was one of the most emotionally devastating scenes when Kaya comes upon this girl who doesn't know what has happened to her, basically.
Yeah.
And she's trying to help her. And and the camera is way too precise in where it show, like what it shows in this moment. And it's a beautiful, sad moment. And the camera goes to a perfect slide onto the phone with a personal contact calling at the right time.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And then it pans over to a mosquito that must be 3D generated, you know, on the arm, because the mosquito won't go onto the arm just like that in that one moment. And sucking blood, trying to make this symbolic point about, I don't know, hatred or people feeding on fear, and then back to the scene. And
I agree with you.
It was like, don't make this exercise. Like, keep it real. Keep it in the moment, you know?
It was the one moment I was a little bit disappointed throughout the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
Because, to quote you, it took me out of it.
Yeah.
It's it didn't ring true.
No.
I thought to myself, is that like a coincidence that there was a mosquito there?
Exactly, due to the camera. Like, because you have this one shot, and of course it's not a coincidence.
Of course not.
Of course not, but it's just constructed. And
and you don't need that in this type of film. You don't need that. Which makes me scared to see what Greengrass is going to do. It's going to be difficult. Yeah, but it's a totally different... It's about the aftermath as well.
Mm.
I gather from seeing some trailer.
Yeah, okay.
So...
Yeah, and that's like... That's actually what I was talking to Ellen about before we watched it. Like, do we actually need to watch what went on the island like this, because we have a pretty clear image of the fear involved with a lone gunman walking around on an island, like a very isolated island. Maybe watching the aftermath would be more interesting, because there's so many people still affected by this incident to this day, because their teenagers, like 77 teenagers were killed. You know?
Yeah. Well, I've 69 on the island. I think it was or nine in the bomb. The bomb was almost a ton. It was 950 kilograms.
Yeah.
You believe that?
It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Crazy stuff.
But do you want to talk a little bit about this psychotic idiot?
Well,
which we will not name.
We will not.
The movie
name
did not
this,
name
no.
him. Let's just say that right away. They did really well by not showing him or naming him in the entire film.
Yeah.
Because this is what he wants. He wants the attention. I'm not saying that's his only character trait, but it's certainly a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So this guy, surprisingly, he's not really that religious.
Mm-mm.
Surprisingly, but his idea is... Of course, he hates foreigners, and the reason he did this, he says, is because the ruling party, which is the Social Democrats in Norway at the time, were a little bit lax on the
immigration
influx,
policy.
Of immigration and like changing social structures and religious influences coming in. And this is like a theme now in politics all over Europe. Huge. It's probably the main theme looking over the spectrum, wouldn't you say?
I agree.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why this movie might actually be quite relevant right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very relevant, and this needs to. It's necessary to keep this alive, just to show what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, which still will not be named, he is not religious, but wanted to, he speaks of himself as a cultural Christian, which is, I guess, what many people around me maybe might be subscribing to, you know.
I think so.
Not really going to church, but kind of liking the old setup, one church. And people are scared of what's happening with immigration and different belief systems coming into the culture, society. He was really unhappy about the Protestant and Catholic churches in Europe, condemning them for just being too lax in kind of welcoming Islam into Western society. And I don't know. I kind of don't want to really go any further into him, but I will say that his main character traits, which is like narcissism and very selective views, rage, hatred, ultra against feminism.
Yeah.
Does this sound like anyone you know? Does this sound like any world leader you know?
Possibly. Let's also keep him unnamed.
Yeah, let's not go.
Yeah.
Go.
We're not
into
stooping
that,
to that level.
Yeah,
no. No, but
I don't know.
It's frightening the way the world turns a little bit.
It is
at the moment. Yeah,
he was subscribing to or endorsing like the far right party in Austria. Which is like a ruling party there now. The last election, 26%. They have like... They're part of coalition government in Austria.
Yeah.
Would you believe that?
Yeah, I thought it was crazy when it happened.
It is crazy. It's still crazy.
It is still, yeah.
I'll tell you something. I have a guy at work who's a good guy and I like him. And he kind of jokes around about the idiot in the White House,
like everybody
kinda,
else,
jokes around. He's like, this guy. I mean, and he's speaking like this is his guy. I mean, I like him. I know he likes him, but only as a kind of a social study case kind of thing.
Yeah.
He knows he's a moron. you know. Mm-hmm. But
not everybody does.
I don't subscribe to that, because we know from history what happens when narcissistic idiots come to power.
Mm.
And the simple fact is, if you look at history, people die.
Yeah.
A lot of people die.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the one of the most scary things, yeah. And I think it's weird that, I mean, I guess it's good that a lot of American comedy outlets are making jokes about him all the time. I mean, they always do that with any president, really. Some more than others. The last one that they made a lot of fun of, let's say Bush.
Yeah.
Seems kind of harmless now.
He seems like a great guy, actually.
Yeah.
He seems like a good guy.
You know, yeah. And I'm also I'm completely weirded out by some of the things that are happening. But it's also, I mean, sometimes when you see these comedy shows about it, it is laughably stupid what's going on. But it's at the same time extremely scary that it is going on.
Mm.
You know? So yeah, let's have some change. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe a movie like this can say this is not really the way to go.
Yeah, but the far right politics going on that are on the rise, have been on the rise for a while now in Europe and apparently in the United States.
Mm.
They're tapping into this fear and rage, and this
but the special thing about this movie is also that it's teenagers being killed for an ideology, really. And just because they subscribe to social democratic views.
Yeah.
Which is basically everyone in the Nordic countries and many of, like, you know, in Europe. So it's like it's really targeting everyone.
And in the States, of course.
Huh? And the States, yeah.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Majority.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure we're being really helpful here. It's just so mind numbing to think about this stuff that I don't really know what to say, but I mean, the same question always pops up: how can this happen? How can this massacre, this huge tragedy, happen?
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about this in preparation for the show, and I just come back to the same thing. It's just, I mean, the guy is obviously crazy. He's this narcissistic trait has warped into something. I mean, no sane person does this. Safe in assuming that no sane person goes and kills 77 people.
No. And cheering about it as well.
Yeah.
And
saying he would do it again.
Yeah.
How can this happen? I mean, there are mental health issues, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The world is getting smaller. It's easier to, you know, get to know, you know, all this stupid ideology out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I think the main reason is isolation in today's society, because it's obvious this guy was, he didn't fit anywhere.
No.
Did he?
No. And then he wrote that manifest, I think, himself also, about some sort of crusade stuff and cleansing Europe and, you know, and once you start believing that stuff and living for that, then, I mean, yeah, crazy person, you know, a psychopath, really.
Yeah.
And, you can't but protect
the,
yourself.
The isolation is usually a factor when you see attacks such as this, or like much smaller attacks. It's usually young men alienated from society, isolated, and they grab hold of something.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have fear and they have rage.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So the subject matter is really just try not to let that happen.
Yeah.
Just society has to, kind of embrace everybody better, but it's just so difficult. Yeah. People are going to fall through the cracks.
They are.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
You know, in Belgium this summer, did I tell you about this? We met this guy, and he was a friend of the people we were staying, whose house we were staying at. And his job is you could call it a spy,
mm-hmm.
but his job is like anti-terrorism, and its job is following, people that are on this list of
mm-hmm.
potential dangerous people.
Yeah.
So this is the reality. I'm sure we have one division like this in Iceland, mm-hmm. Denmark, everywhere.
Yeah. Looking for suspicious activity.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And may I just say one more thing? I mean, it's not, it doesn't say religion here in his comments about this psychopath, but wouldn't it be easier if there was no religion?
Yeah. Well,
my God.
People need something to believe in.
Yeah, it's just
believe too much.
One more thing to divide people as well.
It is.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Mm. They just want everyone to be on the same page.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah.
Damn.
Well, here at the end, just to return to the movie.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea when I started crying a little bit?
It's so difficult with you.
Yeah, I mean, anything can tick me
so
off.
Close to the surface there. I don't know. I mean, I guess the moment for me was when she met the little boy.
Yeah.
He was maybe 12.
Mm.
Just then, when she saw the boy.
Yeah. Okay.
And he had lost his brother, apparently,
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah.
For me, it was actually the bystanders, you know, the private boats that were coming in and trying to save these kids.
Yeah.
It was just like 1 second where you see one of these sailors.
The woman.
Yeah, woman. And I was just like tearing up there. Again, like as I told you before, like this unselfish, like just there's nothing we can do but go here and do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's always such a beautiful act of kindness, you know?
Yeah.
And it always gets me.
Putting yourself in clear danger, was.
Mm-hmm. In order to save a bunch mm-hmm. of people and even now I start tearing up, you know, it's a beautiful moment.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like in Dunkirk.
Kind of like
in Dunkirk, and it also got me there.
Yeah.
So
I think overall, you know, I could say this is a good film. It's a very good reminder of what has happened and what is happening in society here.
It is. I'm very interested to see what people who didn't know about this incident would say about this movie. Actually, because I do think that we bring a lot of baggage to watching this. We were already mm-hmm. completely primed to what we were going to watch before it happened. So, I mean, in the first moments, you were also just thinking, oh my God, I mean, this is not going to end well. I can't bear this, you know?
Yeah. Also, because us in the Nordic countries, we're so not used to stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. We aren't.
Terrorism.
Yeah. Not at this scale at all.
No. Yeah, exactly.
So, I would like to hear actually from other people if anyone has seen it who aren't from the Nordic countries, if it actually has the same effect on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On that note, like, I still think it's a very good movie. I just think it could have done with a different way of structuring what happened out there. Mm-hmm. And putting everything into one single narrative, it might work for some, but it becomes very movie-like. And what I think they actually wanted to try and show was fear, for one, but also the chaos that was happening. And what you saw of chaos was people running past the people who were hiding sometimes. But I have this feeling that a better movie, one that really captures the tension a little bit better, is still out there, and I actually hope it will be created. Maybe someone where you follow different kinds of people, different people, spend a little bit more time setting up the different characters on the island, and follow them around like separately, instead of trying to fit everything in a nice and tight narrative for one person out there.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen. I think
this is probably the one.
Yeah, I think. Well, I think
the
it's
first one, and then
I think it's pretty good, barring a couple of moments there we talked about that we could have done without. But overall, good acting. Thought so. I think most of these kids are not like
time,
trained actors. And the main characters main actress is not, I know,
mm-hmm.
a trained actor.
Yeah.
So I think people did really well here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they achieved what they set out to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it. Mm. And I'm going to recommend it.
Yeah. How many stars did you give it?
I think it's going to be 4 for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm half a star less. I was thinking 4 solid stars, but then mm-hmm. I mean it's like structurally it's just not quite up there. But you know, subject matter very important. The movie mm-hmm. is quite important actually.
It's very important
day and age. So highly recommended, but with a few flaws.
Yeah, I think that's it for Utøya.
It is
tonight, but we haven't decided what to do next.
We might return with Paul Greengrass's version next time.
I think we're gonna see it at least and see, but it's not gonna be a main feature.
We'll touch upon it. I think
we need to see it now. Mm-hmm. Kind of, yeah.
We do.
We need to see it. The movie I was running from and made me late for this one was Woman at War, the Icelandic film.
Yes.
Which we will do.
We will do.
At some
point. I'll be going to Iceland fairly soon, and maybe it'll still be in the cinemas, maybe in Bioparadís. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can catch it there and we could talk about it.
Otherwise, we haven't decided. We have a few ideas, but we'll just keep you waiting.
Keep you waiting. It'll be exciting next time.
So thanks for tonight, and we'll catch you next time.
And as always, you can find us on the Conversation
podcast. I forgot that.
And on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And on Facebook and Twitter. Just do a search for
platform,
Nordic Film Podcast. Yes?
Okay. That's it.
See you next time.